For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joe Gill, and each and every week we check in with the professionals at EverAg. Yeah, learn more at ever.ag. And this week, Mike North joining us here on Chasm Radio and talking all things markets. And we begin dairy-wise, and I guess, well, before we jump into dairy markets, Mike, we always kind of take this time to reflect a little bit on the year before as we enter 2024. And this 2023 has sure been, in general, a pretty interesting year, hasn't it, Mike?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Between a very, very up and down export market, weather, which has hit us every which way, but loose, and changing policy and geopolitical events. Yeah, it has been nothing short of exciting, and I use that term very loosely.
Looking at markets now on Wednesday morning, I'm reading Class 3 milk futures, and a lot of the months beginning with $15 and therefore added by some cents here. And Class 3 milk, we're seeing a market right now, Mike. There's a lot of pressure. We're seeing overproduction. We are seeing smaller cow numbers, but that dairy sector, it's been a tough ending to 2023, that's for sure.
No doubt we have seen a little bit of pushback from the consumer. We have watched as we have rebuilt some inventories into that very consumer resistance, and at the same time have watched as, you know, in prior months we priced ourselves out of the world market, slowing down exports, and, you know, together with a softer global economy, put ourselves in a little bit of a compromised state to close out the year. The good news of it, though, is in these last days, and I speak specifically of Tuesday's trade, we're starting to maybe see a little bit of a turnaround coming. And, you know, as we walked into Wednesday's spot session, we saw every single product trade higher. Block cheese was up 2.5 cents. Barrel cheese was up 4.5 cents. Butter was up 8 cents. Powder was up 0.5 cent. Whey was up 0.5 cent. Despite some of that falling market into Tuesday's trade, Wednesday seems to have turned things around here a little bit. And hopefully, as we've walked our way back into a more competitive price point for world buyers, started to actually see some interest enter in as our dollar has lost some traction right alongside of these lower prices. So there is some hope here as we turn the page and go into January.
Mike, I'm glad you bring up the word competitiveness, because on that world market, sometimes I think I overlook it, but on the world market, the U.S. Dairy products here just weren't competitive flat out. You know, folks could buy cheaper in other parts of the world, right?
For sure. And if you go back to summer, it's a great reminder of how things work in this space. If you recall, back in June and July, we watched as cheese prices dipped down domestically to about $1.31 on the block. And as that took place, just a big rush of export business came in. And a lot of that cheese was slated for export out into fall and late Q4. But we ran the market on that news, which is what helped, you know, give rise to a push back towards $2 cheese as we entered fall. But because we made the move, we again priced ourselves out of that market. So with the market falling of late, as terrible as it is for producers to have to watch that falling price, it's really what the doctor ordered in terms of moving volume out of warehouses, out of inventory, and overseas into other hands, so as to be able to kind of clear the space, if you will, and create what I'll call a little bit more opportunistic environment for a price rally. If we can clear inventory and, you know, lay that against what we've already known to be true, and that is a kind of a compressed or falling milk production environment, we suddenly now can invoke a little bit of interest from the buying community as they're preparing for consumer activity in the 24 calendar. So, you know, it's hard to go through, downturns in the market, but this most recent one may be the very thing we needed to start moving the needle in the other direction.
Mike North with EverEgg joining us here on Chasm Radio. Now, off the air outside of this interview, Mike, we spoke and we both kind of talked about how busy things have been. You've been at meetings and presentations and such. I'm sure the topic of beef on dairy has come up. I'm sure that's something you have discussed, and it's playing a role on the short term. Dairy producers are seeing some added value in selling those calves, but in the long term, I think we're going to be searching for some of those heifers once again for the herd.
Yeah, and that goes back to my comment about compressed milk production. We just don't have the depth of dairy replacements that we have in prior years. And granted, one could make the argument that as we came through the 2011, 12, 13, 14 run, maybe we kept a few more heifers around and we grew that replacement population to a level that we didn't need to, and got a little bit long on inventory there. But we have retracted. Beef on dairy certainly has presented some opportunities. And, you know, if you go back over the course of the last couple of years on cattle prices, we've watched as, you know, we came up through that 2022 zone into levels that were just short of the records that were set in 2014, only to eclipse them and set new records in 2023. So the last couple of years have had some pretty friendly cattle prices, and that has incented producers in the dairy space to breed more of their herd to beef on dairy, which to me I think is going to be a growing trend longer term. This isn't just a blip, if you ask me. The cattle space in its entirety has plenty of pressures of its own with regard to cow-calf operations, you know, having access to enough pasture ground, all the pressures that exist in that space. And I think, you know, as we consider the discussions looking forward around, you know, how we utilize resources and, you know, what our carbon footprint looks like, and as we talk about, you know, this whole concept of sustainability, and, you know, as we look at the opportunity in beef on dairy, I think it's got a really exciting future. I mean, you stop and think about the dairy industry. We have full traceability from when that stick of semen was chosen to go into the cow, all the way through the life cycle, every moment being captured. And, you know, when you look at the kind of uniformity that you can create across this genetic pool that we have in dairy from one herd to the next, you get this really consistent carcass, which produces a very consistent cut, which is a great, great thing for anybody running a packing plant. On a lot of different fronts, beef on dairy presents a huge opportunity for dairymen going forward and the consumer. And so I think this one is a real win-win for the space and has an exciting future.
Finally, as we wrap up talking dairy today here on Chasm Radio, as we turn that calendar, are you looking for certain indicators, you know, maybe in the first few months of the new year that could play a role in the milk futures or any sort of aspect of the dairy markets? Anything you're anticipating that maybe producers should be aware of?
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to be watching for is the response of our consumer. As we move into a new calendar, we leave behind the big demand season for dairy in our country, and I'll say more globally for a lot of the Northern Hemisphere. And so as we talk about key demand periods, we're in it right now. As we work our way through New Year's and then wrap up with Super Bowl, you know, that big window of consuming dairy products gets put behind us. And a lot of the stuff that, you know, we'll consume next week for New Year's, it's already in the refrigerator at home or just leaving the store shelf. So, you know, that's behind us. The only real window we have left is Super Bowl, and a lot of that's already in the pipeline too. So we aren't going to change a whole lot. But that consumer's response to the current economic conditions, to their own personal, you know, debt and financial situation, how they come forward in Q1 will be very indicative for how we can kind of start teeing up the demand side of the equation for 2024. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, what is happening worldwide. China, of course, being a big trade partner of ours on the dairy side and others, has had a really soft economy. If they continue to drag, that will have an impact on our performance here in our dairy markets. And then, of course, and I think this goes without saying, what happens to production? You know, when we come into the front end of a year, we're always prepping for the big spring flush, as we have come to call it. Will producers continue to carry cows through milk prices that are not very profitable in hopes of, you know, that better opportunity shown forward on the price curve? Or will we see more aggressive culling as we get into some of these lower milk prices? All of this is being watched very, very closely, and I think that's those three things are going to kind of shape the milk price discussion going into Q1 and beyond for 2024. So keep your eyes on those, and that should help, you know, provide some insight into what to expect around the corner for prices.
Mike North, joining us EverAg here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill.